When you ride in the back seat of a car, do you buckle your seatbelt? Well, you may be surprised what most people had to say. We've got the survey results.
Have obnoxious theater goers gotten out of control? A new survey reveals what bugs us most when we're seeing a show.
Also, we've got the top five excuses women use to get out of going to a holiday party.
I'm Susan Sikora, along with Bob Bates, and this is Older and Wiser.
Saw an interesting survey recently, a government survey. One in five backseat passengers will wear their seatbelt. That means four out of five people who climb into the backseat of a car are not wearing their seatbelts. And obviously, this does not include kids. So, you know, if you've got kids, you're going to strap them into the backseat. But adults who jump into the backseat of, let's say, a cab or an Uber, Ubers are very, very popular these days. You feel somehow safer, don't you, when you get,
because you think if there's something where you're going to hit, you're going to hit the back of the seat in front of you, and it's going to protect you. It's probably no protection at all, I'm guessing.
That's right. Passengers who are unfastened in the back seat can literally go through the front window, injuring the passenger who's sitting in the front seat.
You know, I remember when my mother was driving, she would always tell me, you know, that it was safer to sit in the back seat.
Yeah.
And usually when I was driving with her, I did sit in the back seat when I was a little girl.
Now, that's interesting because that was way back in the 20s, wasn't it? Did they even have cars? Those are horse and buggy days.
Yeah, horse and buggy. I sat in the back of the horse.
No, but I remember my mom, we had a bench seat in the front of the 57 Chevy, and she would drive while talking and waving and eating and whatever she was doing while she was driving. And then she'd come to a stop sign, and she would reach her arm out.
Oh, yes, the old mother's
The arm. Old mother That's reach
gonna
out.
That's going to save you. That's going to put you probably both through the windshield.
It was the mom reach out, and she thought that would – it did actually a few times keep me from just slipping off the vinyl seat onto the floor. But in a real accident, obviously, the mom arm seatbelt protection system does nothing, right?
Well, yeah, and look at how many years – I mean, we all – rode around in cars with no seatbelts. But, but you know, interestingly enough, people still have this, maybe it's a residue of the old days, and maybe it's just people think they're, you know, when they're in the back, they're okay.
Yeah, it happens all the time in New York in particular. You know, people in New York, you jump in and out of cabs all the time. Three or four people will climb in the back seat. The last thing you want to do is search around in the back, in the crack of the seat for a seatbelt. It feels somehow unsophisticated, you know? However,
and I think if I were getting in a cab, I'd be less likely to do it. I'm not sure why that is. I guess you figure, well, it's just a quick ride. I'm all in and out, and I don't know.
If you remember,
not that makes any difference, really. Danger can be danger, whether it's a 2-minute ride or a 2-hour drive.
I think it was in 2014, early part of 2014. Bob Simon, that CBS News correspondent, great news reporter, was riding unbelted in the rear seat of a limo, was sent by CBS. CBS had hired the limo to go pick him up and take him somewhere. He wasn't fastened, and he died.
I think that the bottom line here is that when you're in a car, buckle up no matter where you're sitting.
Now, here's a weird thing that came up. I have never heard of this, but apparently emergency rooms, especially in New York City where cabs are prevalent, have a word for what happens when a passenger is in the backseat of a car and hits that glass partition. They call it partition face. Now, this must be a very, very serious injury because, you know, when you're in the backseat of a commercial taxi cab, there's that glass that's theoretically supposed to protect the driver from you and, you know, and it's real close. And in a sharp stop, your face could smash that glass. Those partitions should be taken out of cabs.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine most of the Uber cars do not have those.
Right, exactly. Because they're all private vehicles. I was in an Uber just the other night, and the other person in the back seat of the car did not have a seatbelt on. I had mine on. I'm obsessed about that now. It also says here that children younger than age 15, kids under 15 are 75% belted in, which is good. Mm-hmm. But still, 75%, that means 25% of kids under 15 aren't having a seatbelt put on. That seems insane.
No, it does.
And it is one of the simplest ways to save yourself from being killed.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Okay. Bottom line here, buckle up.
Buckle up. Buckle up for safety.
That's right.
Also today, there was an interesting item in a publication called What's on Stage. I've never read What's on Stage, but came across this. The headline is, survey reveals audiences think theaters aren't doing enough to police bad behavior. It turns out that people in theaters, Broadway shows, are singing along loudly with the show. Mm-hmm. That would drive me crazy, first of all.
One of them said something like Jersey Boys.
Jersey Boys, yeah.
I would have a hard time if I were in the live show of Jersey Boys. In fact, if I were sitting there watching that, when I did, I don't remember because it was a while back when I saw it when it came to San Francisco. But I have to say, I bet you I was singing along. Now, I would not be the only one in the row singing along. If the entire audience started singing along and if the performers on stage were looking like that was okay.
Well, see, it isn't. Fine. See, it's a stage show. It's not a midnight show of the Rocky Horror Picture Show where you're all there to do exactly that.
Right.
By the way, interesting, our local theater here in Los Angeles has a showing of White Christmas.
Yes.
That's a sing-along.
Oh!
Isn't that cool? So apparently...
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, I know. They're going to put the words up on the screen, and you can sing along with the with Bing Crosby as he's singing White Christmas. I think it's kind of a great idea.
I would like to talk along for the Bells of St. Mary's.
Talk along. Well, you know all the dialogue?
I know a lot of it.
Do you?
I know a lot of it. A little too much. there are people who will not watch that movie with me. Same with Gone with the Wind.
Really?
I know a lot of the lines.
Too much dialogue. There are certain people you just can't watch a movie with. I guess in the theater, one of these theater owners tells the story of a time when someone was sitting near the front of the theater. They had their iPad, and you know there's a camera on an iPad. He held his iPad up at the beginning of the show and hit record. And
yes.
He thought, and of course, the rest of the theater behind him can see his screen. It's a, you know...
Are criminals getting stupider?
Well, that's what the...
Stupider word. Now, I'm serious. I really think people are doing some really stupid... I think as long as you can take your picture on a phone and record anything, people are just starting to lose their mental filters about what works, what makes sense, and holy cow, if I do this, a lot of people are going to see me, and it's illegal, and we all know it.
65% of people say that theater owners should monitor and police... the audience better than they do.
Yeah, well, they won't do that. And if they do, guess what? Your ticket's going to go up another $15.
64% said theaters should stop selling noisy snacks.
Yeah, that's true.
What would the noisiest snack be?
Okay, let's see. Well,
popcorn itself isn't quiet, but...
Popcorn's not bad. It depends on, my husband and I used to have really odd discussions on this because I'd say to him, just take a few. If we shared a big box, I'd rather get two small boxes. He'd get his paw in there and reach and wiggle around until he got what he wanted. I'd say, take it. I mean, it sounded so loud.
That's
you know?
Where the noise comes from, right?
That's
it's when
right.
you stick your hand down in it and try to get to the bottom, right?
Unless you're having caramelized corn, you know? Yeah, that's different. Then that's going to have a crunch from the start. Potato chips, you don't see potato chips or even really Doritos or something like that, corn chips, tortilla chips. Those things generally are not offered by the bag to go into the theater.
Well, what about bags? Just the ripping and the tearing and the crinkling of bags.
Yes. Yeah. Open the bag before the movie starts. Think ahead or the show. I've gone into theaters with, let's face it, you know, the little snack tucked in my purse. So that I'm only paying, you know, $3 for the box of licorice and not $8.
Because it is ridiculous what they charge.
Yeah. And so, fine. You know, I don't really have a problem with that. If I were a theater owner, I wouldn't monitor it, ask, who cares? You know, I mean, I'm there. I still have my $8 licorice or whatever it's going to be for the convenience of the person who forgot. But if you're going to plan ahead, for corn's sake, will you open the bag before the movie starts so you're not ripping and crunching and crinkling and doing all this junk?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, you know.
Lots of annoyance before the movie even starts. You're annoyed, right? Yeah.
Well, why are we there?
Well, what about movie? What about advertising in movies? They show you five or six actual commercials now before you get to see the previews, before you get to see the movie.
Okay, you want to know something? There's more stupidity, and let me tell you why. As they're doing that, most people are talking, doing their iPhones, going through the... That's when you can open the bag of candy and make sure it's open. I really don't care whether you make noise during the commercial or not, and I'm going to bet I'm in the majority of people in the audience.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe they show us the commercials to give us a wind-down period where we can rustle our candy bags and we can play with our iPhones, and then when the movie starts... It mellows things out a little
bit. Well, they do that, and also they want to get the money.
This survey was done in Great Britain, actually, and it was interesting because I guess they're interested in the theater more over there. This is my impression, at least. Their ticket prices are lower. People like to go to the theater, but maybe they're being more honest as well, because they 26% of the respondents to this survey admitted they had fallen asleep during a performance. And 13% said they'd taken their shoes and socks off. Do you take bizarre. Your... You take
no.
Your, no.
No. What if your foot hits the floor? You don't know what's been on that
it's
floor.
It's sticky is what it is. It's very sticky.
Terrible. No, I wouldn't take my shoes off and my shoes off in the theater and the socks. Now, if I go into the theater in the summertime and I'm wearing sandals or, you know, something with no socks on, but still I've got the shoe on.
Let me ask you this. If you saw someone using their cell phone during a performance of a live show, would you turn around and tell them not to, or would you try your best to ignore it?
I would try my best to ignore it, and then if it continued, I would probably turn around and give them the cold, icy stare.
Oh, that always works.
Well, you don't want to start a fight, because then, first of all, if you start arguing, even if it's casual and nonviolent, now you're making noise, and now everybody can't hear the movie.
Well, and you've also kind of set the tone for your emotional state for the rest of it. You know,
that's true.
Once you've gotten into a conflict with another theater goer, don't you feel like you keep thinking about it through the rest of the performance?
I would think so. I have never done that, but yes, I think it would certainly color my enjoyment of the performance that was yet to come. Absolutely.
40% of people say they have reprimanded someone else in the theater for using their cell phone.
I don't think there's anything wrong with turning around with somebody who, I mean, if somebody has to get it quickly, you know, people have loved ones who are sick or in the hospital, or they're waiting for a call from somebody, or maybe, you know, for whatever reason, there's an emergency that may be sitting on the back burner and it may boil over during the time you're in the movie. And you can probably take a look and then step out of the theater. So you're going to miss part of the movie. If you're that much concerned with what's going on your phone, you're going to miss it anyway. So get out of the theater so that everybody else can enjoy the show.
One of the things that we don't have too much of an issue with in movie theaters, at least most movie theaters, and that is drinking alcohol. But in on Broadway, I believe you can actually take your wine into the theater. Am I right about that? I'm not
sure. I don't know about Broadway in New York. I know last time I was at a live theatrical show in San Francisco, usually the wine or whatever you'd have, you'd buy that in intermission and you'd drink it there.
Out there,
and
they wouldn't let you bring
the
cups in.
Yeah, they start flashing the lights and the bells, and it's another one. Finish it up, because that's it.
They do have movie theaters now where you can take your beverages into the theater. I think adults only kind of stuff. Which,
right. There's some that are, I think they have cushy chairs and stuff. You know,
74% of the respondents to the survey said that theaters should not sell tickets to people who appear to have been drinking too much. But that's kind of,
well, that
of
makes
course.
Sense. Yeah. I don't know. Who wants to sit next to somebody who's, you know, drunk?
That's obvious. That's pretty obvious.
You know,
I think the sing-along thing is my favorite.
Of course.
To go to one of these, well, they call them jukebox musicals now, like Jersey Girls.
Like Jersey Boys.
Jersey Girls. And where all the songs are familiar songs to us from the radio. And or like the Beatlemania, you know, those, that kind of thing. And you can't help but sing along. There's apparently a show out called Close to You, Bacharach Reimagined. I guess you could totally understand why
you're talking about something that's in a theater as opposed to an outdoor concert, like the Beach Boys or somebody, or the Stones performing, you know, that you expect to sing along with that. They'd probably be disappointed if you did not.
Well, I admit, even at a regular concert, I don't want some bad singer sitting in the seat next to me singing along while I'm trying to hear the performer sing. I would much rather hear him or her sing than my neighbor, my seatmate, you know? All right, let's move on.
I don't think that's going to be a big problem, even if they sing off key. I don't think you're going to get, you know.
I know what you mean. All right, now, have you been invited to a lot of holiday events this Christmas holiday season?
Not that many. The ones I go to are pretty low key. It's close friends. We generally get together nearby. And I have to say, one thing that I have noticed, especially when it comes to something like New Year's Eve, which is coming up, a lot of people prefer the thing that is low key at someone's home nearby and early, as opposed to late. Let's get drunk and then drive home and risk a ticket and or an accident.
That's kind of going out, especially for older folks like us. We just don't want to deal with that.
Well, nobody wants the bill, first of all, of a ticket.
Yeah.
That's number one. Secondly, who would want to take the chance in having an accident?
Here's an interesting item that came up in the Huffington Post. And what's interesting is that it's a big enough trend that it made news. I was kind of surprised to see this. Women, it says, the headline is, women are canceling holiday plans due to low self-esteem and body image concerns. And it made me read further, and it turns out that women often have a list of ways to get out of social engagements, and a lot of it relates to how they feel about the way they look.
Okay.
Do you ever have one of those days where you're saying, yeah, I've got plans with somebody, but I just don't feel like I look good enough to go there?
I have days where I don't think I'm at my cutest, but on the other hand, I don't think I would allow it to keep me from doing something I want to do. Hey, this is the era of the shark bite tunic or top, okay? And I don't know if you know what that is.
No, but I don't.
With a wife
that?
And two daughters, you probably do.
Say it again. What is it?
The shark bite tunic or top.
Shark bite tunic
yes.
or top. Okay.
Right.
What is that?
Okay. And what it is, it's a top, okay, like a blouse, not a blouse anymore, okay? It's something you put over your head, usually 3/4 or long sleeves, attractive, some kind of a knit that kind of moves along and doesn't cling, and it comes to long points on the sides.
Oh, okay.
And it's a little longer, so here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It covers the the offending parts. The belly is protruding, and I've got some rolls of fat, and my rear end is...
Is this the modern-day equivalent of the moo-moo?
Well, don't say that to anybody you want to talk to again, and who's female, but...
This survey of over 2,000 women found that 3/4 of them had chosen not to attend a social gathering that they had agreed to go to in the past. So it's a trend that's sort of on the way up. I went to this thing last year, I went to it the year before, but this year I'm not going because I just don't feel good about myself. So what does that say about either the pressure to look good or the, you know, I don't know what it says. It's hard for me to relate to this. I can certainly come up with, I have my list of excuses for not going to a social event. It's usually the true reason for not wanting to go is because I don't care for the people who are going to be there, or it's a dull event, or, you know, there's a bunch of other reasons, but feeling like I'm having a fat day, which is not really one of them. This was the number one answer was 51% of women say they've canceled social events because they said they were having a quote unquote fat day.
I think if you were having a fat year or a fat season or two and your class reunion was coming up, that might be a factor, but you've got a little lead time there to do something about it. I think if you wake up and you say, I'm feeling a little fluffy today and I don't like what I have in my closet and I don't have time to go out and get the shark bite top. Or whatever it may be that's going to hide my face. I mean, there's always that you could put a jacket on over and you'd wear that anyway, perhaps.
Well, the number two answer is I couldn't find an outfit to wear. 49% of women said they've canceled an event because they couldn't find something to wear.
Well, that's probably I can see that one. I wouldn't do it, but I think there's always something that you have in your wardrobe that you can rely back on. And it doesn't have to be the most expensive thing, but it's something that maybe is a little looser or flowing. And it'll cover up the offending parts.
35% said that they didn't want to go to the Christmas party because they didn't have enough time to get ready.
Well, if you work full time and the party is a distance and you've got a, you know, I mean, what else is going on in your schedule? Mm-hmm. Or if it's before one of the holidays, if it's before Christmas and you have kids and you've got shopping to do and wrapping, and if you're doing the whole nine yards, then that may be a valid factor.
29% said, I wanted to stay home and watch TV.
Yeah, there you go. I'm right there. I'm on the couch with my potato chips.
What does that say? Does it say that our television choices these days are so good that we'd rather stay home and binge watch Homeland, or rather than go with our friends and family to a wonderful social event?
It says that perhaps this party is badly scheduled. What else is going on in my life? I'm too tired. It may go back to your stuff of, I don't think I want to hang out with this crowd. And it's a lot easier to get those flannel pajamas on.
12%
of glass of wine and hit the couch.
That's the best place to do it, right? 12% of the respondents said, I was having trouble with my relationship. This isn't something you would say in the RSVP when you said you couldn't come, probably, but perhaps that's the true answer.
My boyfriend and I are fighting. We're thinking of breaking up. I won't be there. No,
exactly.
Nobody says that.
You don't say that. No. I think we should all feel comfortable for the holidays or any other time of year to just stay home and watch TV.
And then there's also the Wanda Sykes one. There's also the
What does Wanda Sykes say?
We went to see Wanda Sykes. She was in Marin County. It was just a couple of years back, not very long ago. And Wanda has this great thing. I'm giving her full credit. So Wanda, if you're listening, I love you. But she says, when you get home, she says, you want to take off your bra. She says, and then somebody calls you up and says, hey, Wanda, you want to meet me downtown and have a glass of wine? And she goes, oh, no, I'd love to do that, but I can't. I already took off my bra.
Yes, you could actually put that on the RSVP. I'm not coming because my bra will be off by that time.
My bra will be off by then.
All right, Susan Sikora. Well, I doubt that we'll be seeing you at any holiday parties this year or
next year. You just might not be at the party I'm at.
That's right. No, I'll be home watching Homeland, probably.
There you go.
That's it this week for Older and Wiser. We're glad you joined us. And for all the news for seniors and beyond, be sure and check us out at olderandwiser.com. Great being with you again, Susan Sikora.
Bye, Bob.
See you next time at olderandwiser.com.